This has been a little bit of a hard lesson. You think it's, oh, this will be easy, piece of cake, Cain and Abel. I mean, anyone could just stand up and teach you about that. A little tougher, and we're only taking part of that today, but it's a little bit of a challenge. So we're going to walk you through this. I'm just decided you're going to teach yourselves. Beg this. Yeah, everyone's going, okay, this will be a short class. So anyway, what I sent the teachers turned out to be up to 5 pages of stuff, and they didn't get what I just gave you. Okay, so anyway, it's about Cain and Abel. We're going to talk about that. Let's pray, and then we'll get right on it. So, Lord, thank you for your word. I pray that you'd help us to learn it, and Lord, to understand what you mean to relay to us. Cain and Abel is an amazing story, an account of the first two brothers that lived on this earth. I pray, Lord, that you would just ingrain in our hearts the difference between the two and how we must emulate Abel instead of Cain. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, everybody got pens? Everybody got a pen? Need a pen? Stephen, you want to? We'll get you some. Run and get the box of pens real quick. Yeah, next, it's on the pulpit there. It's probably whatever I throw you won't work. So we take notes here all the time. So. And if you get bored, you can doodle. That's an option too. On the wall? Oh, yeah. So. No. There it is. Okay. You want to take a look? Raise your hand if you need a pen. We got two in the back. Anyone else? Okay. Okay. What I want to look at is in your notes. I want to focus, just ignore the right four columns. Okay? I'm not looking for answers out of anything but Genesis 4 right now. Okay? That's in the top for a second. It says Genesis 4. 2b to 5a. 2b means it's the second part of the verse. We already covered Genesis 4, 1, and the first part of verse 2. So today we want to look at this, and let's just read it out loud together. It's in your notes there, okay? Right above there. Everybody's got the same text that way. Out loud together. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel in his offering, but he did not respect Cain in his offering. Now, we all know what this turns into. That's next week. Okay, we're not going there either. We're looking just at the text. Notice the first column. What we want to write in our boxes there, you have a row for Cain, and then above it is just the questions there. And then you have a row for Abel, okay? What we want to look at is brought. What did Cain bring or offer to God? That's what you want to write in the first box there, okay? Help me out here. Okay. So Cain brought... does it say here, of the fruit of the ground, okay? So I'm going to write that. Of the fruit of the ground, okay? And why did he do that, possibly, based on the text? Yeah, that's what he did for a living, right? He was a tiller of the ground. Well, I like to say gardener, because a farmer does both. Usually, you know, oftentimes when you think of farming, you think of livestock and all that. So he worked the ground, whether it's fruits, vegetables, whatever the case might be, grains, whatever, but he brought it the fruit of the ground. What did Abel bring?
Firstborn.
Okay, he brought, oops, trying to keep color coordinated here. He brought of... the firstborn of, does it say his flock?
No, yeah, his flock.
His flock. And
their fat.
Of their fat?
And their of their fat.
Yes. Okay, of their fat. Okay. Why do you think he did that? That's what he did, right? He was a, what does it say? He, keeper of sheep, okay? He was a shepherd, okay? You got that so far? So far, so good? Not hard. Now, the question, let me ask you a little bit of this. All right. What can you say about Abel's? There's a little more to be said of this. What if he just said that he brought of his flock? What would be different? Yeah, I should have put there of the firstborn of his flock and of the fat. Or that's it. That should be flock of his flock and of their fat. Okay. Now, two key words here would be what?
Firstborn.
What's the big deal there? The what? Okay, I would say the fat is the best and the biggest. What's the firstborn? Because firstborn isn't necessarily best or biggest. Would that be fair to say? By the fat would be, that's exactly what the fat means. The best and the biggest. What about firstborn? Does that indicate quality? What's firstborn? Priority, yeah. So, it was the first ones that came of the best that there was. Okay? So, he brought of the firstborn, of that which was really good, the biggest and the best for God. Okay? So, there seems to be a quality issue here. First, it came first. Rather than Cain, it looks like it's just he grabbed some stuff from what he grew. But instead, Abel brought the firstborn and the biggest and the best of the firstborn. Okay? It's a priority. God, you go first. You get first. I don't get first. Okay? Does that make sense? God comes first. That you even see that in the, later on in the tithe and stuff. God says he required of the Israelites the first fruits, right? They had to give him from the first tenth, not the last. It's not what I have left over. If I have anything left over, God, you have it. No, you get the first and the best. Okay? So first and best might be the way to describe those. So far, so good. Now let's look at the next one here. This is just a yes or no question, okay? Did they both worship? And maybe that's the wrong word if you define it correctly, but this is something that, to me, you have to wrestle with based upon the rest of the story here. Did they both worship? Okay, Cain brought an offering to God, right? Okay? So the answer would be, at least in some way, shape, or form, and that's what this is, worshiped? Is that 1P or 2, Dory? Yeah, I like Dory. I like Dory. It's like, beg Microsoft Word check, spell checker. I'm doing it my way. Okay. I always move back and forth, yeah. So the answer would be a qualified yes to both because they both brought things to the Lord. Okay, fair? Good? Okay, they both brought stuff to the Lord. Now, as you will see, well, let's go to the next one because I'm just jumping into the next part here. What was God's response? Now, this is where it comes in. Something's different here. What was God's response to Cain? Yeah. Did not respect what? You have to be specific because there's more than that meets the eye. Keep going. Yeah, he said he did. God's response did not respect Cain and his offering. Do you get that? There's two things there that are involved. First one is Cain. The other is his offering, right? You catching this? This gets deeper because it used to be, I don't know, years ago I had a guy that was here and, it doesn't say it didn't, it was his heart, not the offering. I'd say, no, it says his offering. It very specifically says that it's Cain and his offering. Now, what about for Abel here? What's it say about Abel? Okay. God respected what? Abel and his offering. So we're talking about the person and the gift, the present too, right? It's two things, not just one thing. So it's like, wow, okay. Abel and his offering. God did respect it. Respect, maybe approved of, received, accepted, maybe any of those and all of those, and that's true of both. So God did not respect Cain and his offering. God respected Abel and his offering. Now, do not look to the right four columns. I'm not asking the next question have anything to do with that. In fact, I'm hoping you haven't read them yet this morning. Okay? Why? The rest of the lesson is why. Look at Genesis and tell me why. And I'll drink my coffee. And wait patiently. Which is pretty good for me. Does it say that in Genesis 4? Okay, I'm just checking. Okay, maybe I'm going to get your Bible because it would have made it a lot easier. What's it say? It's right at the top of your notes there, that segment. Because we already went through Genesis 1 through 3. Yeah, not that I know of. Yeah, that's not a dumb question. In fact, that's a logical question. Now, what's the requirement? Where are the parameters? How would they know? Okay, now listen. If you stay in Genesis 4, you don't know. You know why? You know what the answer is? You can't tell from the passage. It doesn't say. That's the answer. Okay? It's a kind of a trick question. Why not? What does it say? It says, God did not respect Cain and his offering. God respected Abel and his offering. Why? It doesn't say. But, go ahead. Right, that's the why. Yeah, it tells us the fact that God did or did not respect their offerings and the persons, but it doesn't tell us why. Not there. So guess what? Interestingly enough, there's other things that are said in the New Testament that explain this some. Okay? So let's go through here and get as much out of this, and I think we'll come full circle. Okay? Hebrews 11:4, that's the second passage at the top of your notes. It says this, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. Okay, help me out here. What are you grasping here now? Let's just start through there. Start at the beginning. Don't try and grasp the whole verse there in Hebrews 11:4. Let's start at the beginning. What was the difference between the two?
One's a more excellent sacrifice.
I think you missed one.
Okay, and then the first part is by faith.
There you go. And again, I would have answered the same way. I've just been through this enough now. It's like, ah. Okay. Cain. Or Abel, it says he did it. Oh, let's see. He did it by faith. I'm trying to do the right color. By faith, which means by implication, that's not by faith for Cain. What is faith? We're not talking about a 4-year institution in located in Ankeny, Iowa, in the 50021 area zip code. What is faith? It's belief. Belief standalone.
Belief in God.
Okay, it's belief in God.
Faith always has to happen.
Correct. You have to, when politicians say, I have faith, it's like, you haven't told me anything yet. Of course, everyone has faith in something. Maybe it's yourself, maybe it's your favorite team, maybe it's God, and even maybe it's the God that you've created in your own mind. Okay? Faith or belief in what God has revealed. Okay? That's what faith is. It's what God has revealed. Now we go back to Jim's question. Well, what has He revealed? Okay, we're getting there. Okay? Hang on. All right? So, not by faith. Now, Pastor Jim, what did you say next?
More excellent sacrifice.
More excellent sacrifice. Now, this is a hint, part two of hint. Good question. But it was rejected nonetheless. The question is, why was it rejected? At what, you know, why was it more excellent than? Because He offered something. Cain did. Okay, so it was, I put the word inferior here. I don't know what else to use. It's inferior to Abel's offering, okay? A more excellent sacrifice. And then He goes on to say here, how did I do that? Okay. I have a black marker all over my page now because of my... He obtained witness that He was what? Righteous. It didn't make Him righteous. He obtained witness that He was righteous. Okay, so it indicated that He was righteous, which apparently, by implication again, Cain was unrighteous. Now, we don't have to guess for that too long because the Bible doesn't make us guess on that. So you have at least three things here, and then it goes on to say, God testifying of His what? Gifts. Now, again, someone years ago argued, well, it wasn't what they gave. It was the person. It was the way they gave it. And trust me, it gets deep. It could be three different possibilities, okay? But it seems to indicate in Hebrews 11:4 that yes, indeed, it was His gifts. Okay? That hasn't answered all the questions, I know. I know. I'm not sitting here thinking like, everyone's going, okay. No, we've just added a little more. We've cleared away a little bit of the fog at this point, okay? So it was by faith in what God had revealed. You're believing in something that God has said. It's a more excellent sacrifice. We don't know why yet. But it definitely relates to the fact that He was righteous. It indicates that He was righteous, and it definitely has to do with His gifts. So far, so good. We know that much. Doesn't answer all of our questions. It starts to. Okay? Still with me?
Did I answer Jim's question, or was my stepping out?
No, not yet. Because only if you can answer within the text that we've covered so far. Yeah, otherwise you're just taking over the class. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because the goal isn't to answer the question. The goal is to let the Bible answer the question. Because I've read enough commentaries to say, well, one of you is wrong. Maybe all of you is, you know, because you read it and it's like, oh, really? This one says this and this. Let me give you a little addendum insight here. Why was it rejected? Three possibilities, okay? There, I have it in my notes. I put it in here. And this you can write in the back or something, but I call it the atonement quality for the first one. And these are possibilities, okay? This has to do with what they brought, okay? We'll get into that in a minute. Did what Abel brought make the difference? Okay, as opposed to what Cain brought. The second one could be their approach. Their approach. Approach answers the question, how they brought it. By the way, you'll have commentaries that land on different ones. Abel brought his what? First and best, right? And Cain brought of the fruit. Brought some fruit, okay? And the other possibility, I completely recreated this chart because I could, I have four different pages of notes and outlines. And I thought, bag it, we're not using any of them, okay? But it's all kind of filled out. But the last one's attitude, and I call this why. Now, I would have to say, for these, the answer, which one? The answer is yes. But they all are true to some degree or another, okay? So Cain brought for a different reason than Abel did. The Bible reveals that we haven't got to yet. Okay? Next passage here. Hebrews 12:24. This sheds a little more light. And these are in the middle of other contexts, so they're bringing things out. Notice here, it says, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Now, what are they talking about here? What is the one thing that is brought up in this passage? The blood. There was a blood sacrifice here, according to when you offer a lamb, it's not just giving it, you're killing it, you're shedding its blood. It's an offering, okay? Yes! I like teaching smart people because they help me do better. No, actually that's right. It's down here. Abel offered a blood sacrifice. What did Cain offer?
No blood.
Now, state, if you know or are familiar with the law in the Old Testament, was it okay to offer fruit of your field? Yes, it was, right? There's grain offerings, there's olive oil, yeah, all kinds of stuff, okay? All right? For certain things. But the law hadn't been given yet. How do they know? Okay, still here? That seems to give an indication of why this was a more excellent sacrifice. The blood of sprinkling that's better than that of Abel. Okay? What would Abel's blood be indicative of? Just like through all time, did the blood of animals solve any sin problem? No, it didn't. It only, what? Looked forward, served as a covering. That's what atonement means. It served as a covering, if you will, looking forward to when the sacrifice, Jesus Christ, would come and die for us. Okay? Yes. Well, we're going to get that, though. Abel never heard the name Jesus, so we're going to get to that too. Nor did Abraham, by the way. Next one here was 1 John? 1 John 3:12. Now this kind of sheds a little more light on Cain. Remember I said we had to kind of guess that by implication that he was unrighteous? How about 1 John 3:12? Not as Cain, who was... Yeah, he wasn't devil incarnate. He was of the wicked one. We'll come back to that. What's the other thing it says there? And he murdered his brother. And why did he do this? Because his works were evil. And by implication, Abel was of the righteous one. I put brackets around it because it doesn't say it. It just contrasts it by not saying it. And then his works, it clearly says his works were righteous. That's like, wow, that's getting a lot out of Genesis 4. Well, this is God revealing. He's explaining more as time goes on. You don't always get that first thing, right? When you're studying the Bible. God sometimes reveals things in a... Ethan, you know that phrase? Progressive revelation. Okay, that's yeah. He doesn't tell you everything all at once. In fact, many generations. The last thing here is in Jude 11. There's only one chapter, so it's 1:11 or Jude 11. 1:11. I guess I better put that down. But there's only one chapter, so that's why. Okay, what does it say here? By the way, there's another passage or two, but it relates to what happens next week. So we didn't bring those up because it doesn't define their offerings. It defines other things, okay? Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. How to say that? But Cain went his way, went God's way for Abel. Okay, and by the way, you don't want to be listed in a description with Balaam and Korah, because those are both bad. Balaam tried to overthrow or be used to overthrow the Israelites as they were coming into the promised land. He was a prophet for hire, prophet for profit. Okay, and then went God's way. Sorry, that's went his way and God's way. Sorry about that. And then Korah was the rebellion of Korah. They said, who are you, Moses, that you can offer to God directly and we can't? I think that was the who is on the Lord's side kind of thing. And they say, oh, you know, and Moses like, no, you don't want to say that. And they're like, you're just men like we are. And then all of a sudden God allowed a plague and it killed like 70,000 people. Okay? They were rebelling against God's leadership and God's chosen human leadership as well. Okay? So far so good. It looks like then what is required? Why? There's several things here. Now I mentioned that the atonement part seems to mean that there needed to be a blood sacrifice. How did they know? Genesis 3. It's not what God said. It's what God did. Now there's a couple things. What did God say? Adam, tree of life, tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the day you eat thereof, you shall surely what? Die. And God kept his word. It happened. Adam ate, he died. Okay? Adam and Eve made themselves clothes. At that point, they realized they were naked, but they were seeing life differently than they were before. They had eaten of the fruit. Okay? They had a sinful heart now. They made themselves clothes out of what? Fig leaves. Would they have worked for clothes? I mean, in a general sense, the answer is yes. Must not have been the style, right? No. What was missing? That was their own solution to the problem. God instead slew animals and made for them clothes of animal skins, which required animals to what? They had to die. They had to shed the blood of animals to get the skins for them. So basically, God, by, what's the word I'm looking for? An object lesson, a pattern, said the only way you can be right, ultimately, is the shedding of blood. Okay, does that make sense? By his actions. By the way, the revealed part was, if you eat this, you won't be right with God. Okay, you'll die, you'll be separated from God. Which was the case. As soon as Adam ate, he hid, right? When God came, he ran and hid in the garden. All of a sudden, he didn't have a right relationship with God, and that God had to evict him out of the Garden of Eden and all that. So the sin part was there. Adam knew that he was a sinner by virtue of what God had said. He was dead. He was separated from God. He wasn't allowed the interaction he had before. And there was a blood sacrifice required for clothes. Now, it doesn't explain it all. That was just the pattern. Might not make sense to Adam and Eve fully, but they just knew that something had to die for us to have some kind of semblance of relationship with God. There had to be a blood sacrifice. That much Cain and Abel would have known. Does that make sense? That much Cain and Abel would have known. And based upon what the other passages say, the blood sacrifice did make a difference. Were they required to bring it? We don't have any indication of that, but listen, I would assume that they would have needed clothes going forward. Yeah. Well, and I'm saying the animal skins, if your dad lives to be 900 and some years old, you're not going to inherit his right away. You know what I'm saying? So that idea is that there was a blood sacrifice, so that atonement part, there had to be that based upon the pattern of God. If you approach God, that's what you bring. Now the other stuff, just like what you see in the law later on, the Ten Commandments and all that, listen, you can bring grain offerings, you can bring oil, you can bring this, but that stuff would not atone for sin, right? By the shedding of blood, how's it say in Hebrews? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. That's the setting that you see from Genesis 3 on. There was a God overlooking the sin until Jesus came. And that blood was a picture or a looking forward that Jesus would come and die on the cross for us. They didn't know all of that. They didn't know the name Jesus. I don't think they understood that anyone would come and die for them at that point. They just understood that they had to come to God on the base. They were not right on their own, and they had to come to God on the basis of blood. That's what Abel did. Now, yes, he brought a more excellent sacrifice, even in the first and best, okay? But it was a blood sacrifice. That seems to be the criteria of Hebrews 12:24. The blood of sprinkling that's better than Abel's, okay? Then you also see that the attitude or the approach, Cain knew, based upon his parents getting kicked out of the garden, let alone anything they would have said, and the whole idea that we're dying now, and they never used to do that before, was indicative that everyone was involved in the sin plague, if you will. But also, it was his attitude. He knew what was required. What did he do? And if I could explain this simply, the best I can. Cain came to God. So far, so good? Right. However, he came on his own terms. And the key word is his own. He was prideful. He was wicked. The Bible calls him that. We're too kind to say that stuff. The Bible says, no, he was wicked. So his attitude was goofed up. And so therefore, his approach was goofed up. It's like, no, I'm not doing this because I don't think I need that. I'll give you what I have and you'll be happy. Didn't work for him, did it? So the gifts indicated that Abel, if you will, was a saved person, if we can use that vernacular, and Cain was not, okay? It revealed that. So then you say the approach. The approach is the, you know, how they did it. Well, why Abel did it is he understood that he was unacceptable to God, and the only way he could approach God is through the shedding of blood. Not pretty, not wonderful, but absolutely required, because that's how bad sin is. Cain says, no, I'll do it my own way. Now this is huge because, by the way, I'll write this. Abel came to God on God's terms, and it was believing what God had revealed and patterned about sin and blood, if you will. Okay? Got it? Those two things you can say. Another way to say it is, I'll write it in orange. We like orange. This, you could clarify Cain as to be any type of false religion. What is false religion? It's not the absence of worshiping God. It's worshiping God on your own terms. Remember, I don't know if you recall, but Moses went up into the mountain to talk. He was with God for 40 days. And then people are like, where's Moses? Let's see. And Aaron goes, you know what? Let's form a calf, and we'll worship that. And they said, men and women of Israel, this is the God who led you out of Egypt. Were they worshiping? Yes. They were worshiping the wrong thing. They were not worshiping on God's terms. And listen, all the way through the ages, from Cain and Abel on, you have true worship and false worship. And as much as people want to say, well, all roads lead to God, they do not. God has defined what He expects, and it first is coming to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are unacceptable to God. It doesn't matter how much you go to church, how much you give, how nice you are to people. All of those are good, on a, if you will, on a human level. But if you do not understand that you are already unacceptable to God, and whatever you do doesn't make you acceptable, and that you can only come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where you start. True religion starts with, I'm unacceptable to God, and therefore I need God to do something because I cannot. That was Abel's attitude. And he said, hey, I need Jesus Christ. He didn't use Jesus. I know that I can't come to God myself, and I know blood has to be shed. Well, listen, I can tell you good news today. You still can't come to God on your own. But Jesus has died on the cross. He's the ultimate Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, the Bible says. And God says, no, you're unacceptable, but I have given Jesus Christ to die for your sin and your guilt, and you believe on Him, and then you can approach me, but it's not because of what you have done. That's Cain. That's the way of Cain. It's what God does for you. Just like He made the skins, just like the animals had to die so that Abel was shown to be righteous. That's what it is. Now, it's hard to chew all of this together, but if I would summarize that, this Cain came on his own terms, Abel came on the terms, believing what God had revealed, that they were sinners, they were unacceptable to God now, and blood was required. That's all he knew, but he believed what God had revealed. And therefore, he was considered righteous. Cain was of the wicked one. And this goes back to, there's two brothers, but there's only two ways to approach God. And one is unacceptable, and that's anything other than approaching God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Anything else, whether it's Muslim, whether it's humanism, or I don't have a religion, I just do what I want, I'm the own center of my universe, and frankly, I'm my own Bible. All of that fits up here. You can do whatever you want, but it's unacceptable to God. However you want to define it, I'll just be good, do good works. I'll just you know, give my life to the poor, give all my wealth to the poor, give my life to help people. That is still coming on our own terms. Is it wrong to do stuff like that? No, but that is not the basis of being saved. That's service. That's something completely different. And you do that because of what God's done, not to get favor from Him, okay? So, again, two ways to God. One is our own terms, however you want to define it. We do our own good the way we want to do it, and God says that will not work. And the other is on God's terms. We are unacceptable to God, and we need God's help. Not God's help, God's ultimate rescue of us through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, ultimately. Abel, even though he didn't understand all of that in detail, that's what it took for him to be saved. We got 2 minutes left. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says this: "For by grace you have been saved through faith or belief, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of what? Works. Lest any man should boast." Now it goes on to say, well, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus that we should, for good works, that we should walk in them. That's a terrible paraphrase. So works are good, but that doesn't get you right with God. Okay? And you'll find out next week that it just enraged Cain. And basically what we could find out is, I mean, and maybe this is being artistically creative, but he kind of like, well, if you want a blood sacrifice, I can give you one. And I know who that will be. And you have the first brothers, and next week we have the first murderer. Seriously. He killed his brother because his works were wicked and his brothers were righteous. Okay? So, and it's amazing because he had things, connections to God that none of us do. God talked directly with Cain before he killed his brother. We'll see that next week. So, questions or comments? Bottom line, salvation comes through accepting our own unacceptability toward God and accepting God's provision for that, which is the blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything? Did we answer the questions? Did we finally get there? This was harder than I thought. There's even more. But that's too bad. We're done. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your word. I pray that each person would be like Abel. First, that they would see the fact that they're unacceptable to God. Lord, we're all that because of our sin and sinfulness. And Lord, that we need nothing that we can bring, but we need the Lord Jesus Christ's death and resurrection to be right with You. And Lord, also, as we live, may we live like Abel, who, because of how we offer to You as a lifestyle, our hearts and works are revealed as righteous because of our ongoing belief in what You have revealed. I pray this for every person here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much.
Cain was evil and Abel was good.
Yes, he was righteous. It's, I think that's defined. Thanks for coming. Bye, guys. Some people actually bring that up too, but yeah, it keeps going back and forth too. It says Cain and Abel, then Abel and Cain, then Cain and Abel, then Abel and Cain. So I'm not sure if that isn't even part of it. Some people do bring that up though. It's like, well, Abel's heart was more toward God because he cared for sheep. Well, they couldn't eat sheep, remember? They didn't eat meat till after the flood. So they raised sheep for clothes, not for food. So you had to raise food. So, no. The commentators brought that up, Jim. So very good.
It almost seems like commentators look too deeply at times.
Or they don't look deeply enough in the other places. No, but I'm saying sometimes they limit themselves to Genesis 4 and try and explain everything. It's like, well, it does go on to say these other things.
The Jews just had Genesis 4, and they had to explain it from there.
But I think they would have maybe understood it better because the pattern is still there in Genesis 3. And obviously, Cain and Abel understood something.
The things they were Genesis 3:15 basically comes, they're looking for a man-child that was trying to, you know, it didn't make sense to them.
Yeah.
The man-child, you know. But then
there was the seed of the woman.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Then there was the sacrifice.
And, yeah. I tell you, it was deeper than I thought it would be.